Four very important individuals of our time, Donald J. Trump, Vladimir Putin, Benjamin Netanyahu, and Xi Jinping. Welcome to this Present Truth program. I'm your host, Rick Rodriguez. Today's the 22nd of October, 2025. These men, these individuals, Donald Trump, Vladimir Putin, and Benjamin Netanyahu and Xi Jinping, are great men, some of the greatest men of their countries, the greatest president, in my view, you can disagree, the greatest president of the United States of America is Donald J. Trump. Of Russia, the definitely greatest president that Russia has ever had is Vladimir Putin. Concerning Israel, Israel has had great since Israel became a nation once again in 1948. Israel has had wonderful, great prime ministers. None like Benjamin Netanyahu. You can disagree, but the fact is, so far, these three have been the greatest individuals of their countries. And then with Xi Jinping is unique also as president of China or a communist leader of China. Xi Jinping. And I won't be able to cover in depth the greatness of each of these individuals and why they are so great. Whether, like with Xi Jinping, he has brought China from a good manufacturing industrial country. He has taken China, brought China into world politics, into the world, into the stature of the leaders of the world that the other leaders of China have not been able to do. There are many reasons for that. One is the BRICS group of nations. That's one of the big reasons. So, where do I begin? Should I begin with Trump? Putin? But, you know, communist Russia, Putin wouldn't be great. No, he's great. From a biblical perspective, all these men are great. I can begin there, and now I suppose I should explain myself. I have talked over the years extensively about why I think Donald Trump is the greatest president of this country. I have, to a great degree, discussed Vladimir Putin and why he is, what he has done for Russia. Benjamin Netanyahu, what he has done for Israel, and Xi Jinping for China. I think in this program, I should discuss, to begin with, Vladimir Putin. I'm going to go back, maybe to late 1800s. There's always been a plan by the British and in conjunction with the European nations and the United States to destroy Russia. There's always been an objective. Lenin said that to rule the world, and he was quoting another individual out of England, you have to rule Asia, all of Asia, not just Central Asia, but eventually if you can control Central Asia, you will control the world, not just Eastern Asia, Western Europe, but the whole world. And the objectives of the British and secret societies in England, the Pilgrim Society, in conjunction with the royal families, with out of the Vatican, you have the P2, the Jesuits, you have the Knights of Malta, also network of Freemasons throughout Europe. These working together were capable of destroying and ending the lineage of the Romanovs right at the turn of the century, 1901, in that time period, a little bit later than that. And the objective and the labyrinth of secret societies in Europe working together with the Americans began a century-long project to destroy Russia. The Bolshevik Revolution, what was it, 1917, etc., a British plan. Lenin was a British operative who led the revolution. You have then you have World War I and World War II, which made Russia, in a sense, militarily stronger. Nevertheless, there was a plan by the royals of Europe, the Rockefeller family, the ruling families of the United States of America, Ford, DuPont, Dunlap, you name it. Great families in this country trying to destroy Russia. And then you have, during the Reagan administration, Leo Wanta, an individual. I don't have time to get into the particulars. There was just an individual that took government federal money loaned to him by Ronald Reagan, Leo Wanta. He was able to basically purchase the rubles that were on the market and destroyed Russia's ability to have an economy, because the United States now owned trillions of dollars worth of rubles. It was a fascinating story, but they almost destroyed Russia in that late Reagan administration, early George Bush Jr., senior administration, through economic policies or economic destroying their economy because of the value of the ruble dropping to basically nothing. But it continued during the Clinton administration, and the wealthy billionaires of Russia were selling. There's a book, The Sale of the Century. A woman wrote about how all of Russia's major oil fields, oil companies, the big corporations were being sold to the highest, maybe not even the highest bidder, to whoever was part of the Clinton machine in the 1990s. And there are some who became very wealthy in Russia, but all of Russia was being sold off piece by piece. Well, now we'll talk about Vladimir Putin. So Vladimir Putin, before the Berlin Wall collapsed, was a Russian. What was the Russian secret service? Trying to remember the name, I can see the abbreviations, in Germany. And Putin knew anything that was happening in West Berlin, in Western Germany, everything. He knew about it. He knew Angela Merkel. He knew everybody that was somebody on the Western side of Berlin. What was happening with the United States and our involvement in Berlin, the English, whoever was in Berlin, in Germany, Western Germany, Putin knew about it. He knew the story of Adolf Hitler and his leaving Germany on a U-boat, relocating in South America, and Adolf Hitler's daughter that was left behind, Angela Merkel, she was left behind. There was a plan with her. And I've done programs in the past, going back to 2019, 2020, 21, 22, 23, 24, intensive programs that were, might say, would give the history of what happened with Putin, with Merkel, with Hitler, with the Hitler's relatives, the Rothschilds. But I want to stay, I don't want to go down these rabbit holes. I'll stay with Vladimir after the Berlin Wall came down. He's back in the USSR. And the Soviet Union collapses, which is in the Bible. It was there's a prophecy in the Bible about Russia in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. For those that are not Christians, I'm going to do my Sunday programs on the Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry programs. I'm going to do a study of Ezekiel chapter 38, 39, a great, great empire called Russia, Rosh, Meshach, or Moscow. And this prophecy in Ezekiel 38 and 39 could not come to pass perfectly if Russia was in a group of nations, if Russia was working with a group of nations, because the scriptures say that Russia would work solo. And this is exactly what happened in the late 1980s and early 1990s. Russia had to go it alone without the other nations that were part of the Soviet bloc. That was prophecy being fulfilled when Russia was basically cast out to sea to either weather the storm or end up in the landfill of history. Russia weathered the storm. Russia became great. And it was through Vladimir Putin. So in the 1990s, with the Bill Clinton being in office, again, continuing the objective of destroying Russia, one way is to piece it out. Sell all the corporations, everything, manufacturing, industry, everything. But Russia must be great. Boris Yeltsin basically made an agreement with Bill Clinton that they would, you might say, be comrades, compadres, as long as America would not bring the Ukraine into the NATO states. Well, late in the 90s, Bill Clinton said, no, we're going to consider bringing Ukraine into NATO. And that is when Boris Yeltsin realized he'd been had, he'd been duped, he'd been lied to. And it was at that point that he made a decision. And the decision was the only individual that Yeltsin knew that was 100% patriotic to Mother Russia, that he could depend on, he could trust, was Vladimir Putin. And on the last day of 1999, December 31st, at midnight, he appointed Vladimir Putin to be president of Russia. This is in the Bible. For those that love history, which I do, I see history developing through the insight that is in the prophets of Israel, the teachings of Christ, and the teachings of the apostles of Christ. Everything is documented for our time so that the people of this time will know that the coming, the second coming of Jesus Christ is near. 8 years, I say. There are indicators through the decades that point to the coming of Christ. I see Vladimir Putin as a great, the greatest president ever in the history of Russia. He had to bring Russia back from economic collapse. The sale of all of everything that was important to make Russia great again. What Trump is doing, he's making America great. America will be great. But I'm afraid that Donald Trump is setting the table for someone who is going to follow. And in the previous three programs, I have gone into my view of who will replace Donald Trump as president. I don't want to talk about J.D. Vance. He will never be president. There will not be another election, presidential election in the United States of America. I know you want me to explain myself, and I will. You have to continue to come back and listen to these programs. I can give you insight, but you have to take the time to spend time wisely to listen to what I have to say. You don't have to agree with me. But at least consider. Now, Putin, Vladimir Putin, he basically begins to find all of these wealthy Russian billionaires who have been working with the Bill Clinton and the Wall Street of the United States and the wealthy companies of this country to take over everything in Russia, oil, gas, everything important. Putin hunts these people down, and most of them, they didn't make it into 2021, and he began to take back what had been given away. That's the very first thing he did. He began to work on the economy, work with the Russian people. He was able to give them a vision of Russia's future. And with that, they had hope once again. And then he began working with the purge within the government and beginning dialogue with the countries that were the old Soviet bloc, other nations in the area, diplomatically working things out. Great diplomat. Fantastic, absolute great diplomat. Same as Donald Trump. These men that I'm talking about, these men are in their own right, where they have been placed, are great, great individuals for their countries, including Xi Jinping. You see, Xi Jinping is the communist leader that made the decision to cut ties with, like I stated in yesterday's program, or the last program, Amaruca, with the land of the plumed serpent, with America. He made the decision to cut ties. He's great. Going back to Vladimir Putin. So methodically, Putin begins to work on the economy. He begins to develop gas and oil. He begins to bring Russia, as far as technology, forward. He knew there had to be billions spent on technology. And he began to bring Russia into this century. At the same time, he is building the military, works on trade with the nations adjacent to Russia, with some of the Central and Western European nations, nations in the Middle East. And one thing that he did that was, you might say, initially kind of touch and go, when he took over as president of Russia, he had to work with some of the older leaders of China. It wasn't until Xi Jinping came along that Putin was able to begin dialogue with the CCP once again. He worked with Xi. These two nations have been, you know, at each other. They have their own feuds. They don't trust each other. Xi Jinping is spending billions on putting this Belt Road to the West, Xi Jinping is attempting to bring China into a new century. We, in this country, we're already in the new century. We are the nation that, you might say, the comet going through the universe with the tail stretching out millions of miles. We're the face of the comet, and all these nations are having to follow. Russia followed, China followed, Israel has always been right step in step with the United States. Now, with Netanyahu, just a little indicator, Israel and the United States must work together. It was an ancient 4,000-year plan that Babylon the Great and Babylon, ancient Babylon, worked with Israel, and the end of the world Babylon the Great will also work with Israel, and the people of this country are opposed to it. But I can't. You're going to have to continue into the following programs. I'll explain myself. Going back to Putin. Putin is now working. In 2005, there was an individual out of Europe, out of England. He was stating that the nations of the world have been basically held hostage to empires' economic stranglehold, to our Federal Reserve, our World Bank, our IMF, the nations of the world. If they decide they don't like our policy in their nations, well, we go ahead and sanction them through debt or through we just stopped funding their food programs for 3 months. What happened is this individual stated that if the bigger developing countries would work together, they together could basically end America's world hegemony economically. And Putin, even before this individual came out with verbally and presented his paper, Putin had already been working with, to some degree, with India and with China to work things out so they could work together. Russia has always been involved in Africa and in Latin America. And so, about 2005, Putin began diplomatic objectives with South Africa, Brazil, India, China, to work together. And the objective is to trade amongst themselves using their currencies, and even back then, to carefully cut themselves from the U.S. dollar, from the petrodollar, and to trade with maybe not so much money, but trade oil for goods, and it was successful. And then eventually Putin came out with the BRICS countries, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. The people in the United States, the families that rule this country, they weren't too happy with the concept, but they knew it was already a plan that was being, you might say, set. And they knew that they had to stop it. They had to scuttle it somehow. But Putin diplomatically just was relentless, kept working with these nations, and then eventually, I'm trying to think of about, 20, during the Obama administration, it was in that administration that China realized that they were going to need to make a break from the U.S. economic chain. Russia already knew that. Putin already knew it had to be, there was no alternative. Brazil was the big economic powerhouse in South America. Putin went to Brazil, not Argentina, not Venezuela, but he went to Brazil and began to, you might say, dialogue on the matter of economic trade in Africa. Putin is working with many of the nations in Central Africa and supporting, working with Egypt to support Egypt with arms and Libya. But with South Africa being a little bit more democratic, a little more free from Islamic influence, he was able to work a deal out with the South African government, and this helped, you might say, bring into being this network of nations. But Xi Jinping knew he didn't have a choice. South Africa, they wanted to develop. They're a developing nation. They want to develop outside of the clutches of the United States. Same with Brazil. Brazil knew, and Russia knew, Putin knew that if this would take hold in Brazil, Argentina, Chile, these other nations would probably want to come into that system. And mainly, it would be a system where they could trade and not be held captive to the petrodollar. And the concept was just too hard to ignore. Now there are many other nations that are, they want to become members. I think there are 11 members now in the BRICS trading group. Putin was making Russia great. Vladimir Putin has made Russia great because Russia has a destiny. Russia's destiny is to bring all of her military and military assets and hardware south to the nation of Jordan in the very near future, I think next summer. The programs, my website is thispresenttruth.com. Thispresenttruth.com. You can contact me, Rick Rodriguez, Post Office Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. Rick Rodriguez, Post Office Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. And with the website, thispresenttruth.com, tell your friends. They want to know what's going to happen with this coming Russian war. So let them know. Give them the website, thispresenttruth.com. On the website, on the page, you can go to the This Present Truth programs or to the Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry church programs. You have your choice. This Present Truth, generally an hour, whenever I can record. I bring the current events blended with Bible prophecy so that those that don't know God, don't believe maybe the Bible is real, they can have a different view. And then on the Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry Church program, I take Ezekiel 38:39, and I will do a full presentation on it. The United States is involved with Ezekiel 38 and 39. China is not. Xi Jinping is going to be excluded out of that great war. That war will be with Turkey and Libya, Ethiopia out of North Africa, with Iran, a few other nations. It's going to take place. It's never occurred before. It could never take place without Vladimir Putin. Going back to Vladimir, he had to, according to Bible prophecy, make Russia great again. And Donald Trump had to make America great again with technology. And through because of Donald Trump, we have this big push for AI. We don't like it. We wonder why he's doing it. But here's the thing. Donald Trump has to help fulfill, and he is fulfilling prophecy. He is setting the table and preparing everything for a new administration, a new president, and a new, completely new, I don't know if the next president is going to have a cabinet. He's going to have people around him that he'll, I think it's going to be more like a totalitarian takeover. I can't get into that right now. I don't have the time. It's thank goodness with these programs, I don't have commercials. So I can flow through hour to hour to hour to hour. thispresenttruth.com. Okay. Vladimir Putin. Does Putin know that he's in the Bible? I suspect. He's young. When Russia has this war down in the nation of Jordan, will it be Vladimir Putin? I believe it very well may be. I will give you some insight into Vladimir Putin. One thing he has done with his country is, being Russian Orthodox, he has been bringing Russia back to the belief and the morals of Christ. The Jesus movement in the United States of America began in 1961 with John F. Kennedy and with the great, you might say, Jesus movement or return to religion in Russia began in about 1976 with a group of Christian singers out of the United States of America, led by a young man by the name of Michael McKibben. Michael McKibben would eventually have a group of high-tech individuals that would create the social, the digital means to have social media. And that was stolen from him by Mark the Thief Zuckerberg. This is documented. This is not opinion. Zuckerberg created nothing. What he has and what he owns and controls was taken, was usurped, stolen. Zuckerberg is, like his family lineage, just a thief, in my view and according to documentation. But it was Michael McKibben who was able to crack the code to bring the technology that we understand as Facebook, TikTok, now with Instagram, all of it. X, which was formerly, the way they do things, I forget what X was formerly. It was, I forgot. But anyhow, Michael McKibben, he is the individual with his group of inventors that invented and that were able to crack the code, which brought us all of this technology where we can talk together through all these different technologies. Zuckerberg was the thief. It's a family affair, a family of thieves. I've done previous programs on the Zuckerberg, Mark Greenberg, Zuckerberg. No. It would be Mark Greenberg, Rockefeller, Zuckerberg. That's his lineage. But Putin was in Germany when the new religious movement in Eastern Europe began. It didn't begin in Russia, but it began in 1976. I think they went to the Michael McKibben and the Christian singers went to, I think it was Poland. I have to go back and read my notes. And then eventually they were invited to, and through the Catholic Church, the churches there in that area. And then eventually they were invited into Russia. And it began once again, the light of Christ hit Russia in the late 1970s. And once again, it was the beginning of a change in the communist Russia. As a proof that God's hand was in it, Russia and the Soviet bloc dismembered. They separated because Russia had to become a nation that would eventually become the protector and the advisor to the old Soviet bloc and other nations in the region and that would be by alone, solo. And Russia began eventually to the curse of the communist, God-hating, antichrist religion. It was a religion. Collapsed, totally collapsed. Now Russia once again is more of a Christian. Well, not once again. Russia now is more of a Christian country, God-fearing, than the United States of America. With America, in a future program, we began as a, you might say, Christian, God-fearing people. But in the mix was another, you might see like the verse that talks about a fly in the apothecary, a fly in the ointment. Initially, America, when we were really becoming a country, there we would never have become a country without the Christian blessings or prayer, blessings of the Christian people, of the religious people. But there were also the group that was in the occult. On the Mayflower, you had many, many, for the most part, God-fearing Christian people. But also on the Mayflower, you had the children of the devil, the Collins family, some of the other families. What was one of the other families that were over on the Mayflower? The Holmes family. Remember James Holmes here in Colorado who went into the theater and supposedly shot these people? Well, his father was a government, worked for the government. Well, his lineage goes back to the Mayflower. So there were the Christians on board, and then there were the Collinses and the Holmeses and those that were not God-fearing, but members of another kingdom, in my view. So now Russia has become what we would term a Christian nation. And they're being blessed. They are being blessed. They have to be blessed. Economically, Vladimir Putin turned it around. And the ruble is has more value now than it's ever had before. Now, in 2022, in February, I think it was the 2nd or the 4th, this is when Russia did not invade Ukraine. This is when Vladimir Putin had to send troops into Ukraine to combat the another insurrection led by the United States of America. The CIA's attempt to possibly bring Ukraine into NATO. On the 22nd, that's not, actually not the, the, is that the date that they, it was the 22nd of February 2022 that Russia went into Ukraine. It was on the 4th of February during the Beijing Olympics, Vladimir Putin and Xi Jinping made a statement to, while Putin had gone to the Beijing Olympics, the two made an announcement to the Chinese people, to the Russian people, that these two countries had made an agreement. The agreement was they would partner, they would become partners together, work together. And basically in that speech that Putin gave to the Chinese people and that Xi Jinping gave to the Russian people, they were basically saying this, not basically, this is what they said. I'm going to paraphrase. We, Russia and China, have made a partnership. And we, from this point forward, will be the two nations to host international dialogue. No longer will it be the United States of America. We, Russia and China, are stating openly to the nations, we have joined to make war against the United States of America. We are at war with the United States of America. We are at war with the petrodollar. We are at war with a family in the United States of America called the Rockefeller family. We are at war with a family in Europe called the Rothschild family. We are at war with their secret society, the Pilgrim Society, in London, the city of London, formed in 1902 in February in the city of London, and then a sister chapter opened in July of 1902 in New York City, those presiding over the affairs, John D. Rockefeller and John D. Rockefeller Jr. This is what Vladimir Putin and Xi Jinping basically were stating to the world, and I believe it was the 4th of February, 2022. The world doesn't know about this. The European nations, when they had the transcripts interpreted to them, the leaders of Africa, of Asia, of Central America, of Canada, of the United States, they understood that these two nations now were able to wage war, economic, political, and if had so be, militarily, war against the United States of America. They, by that time, Putin and Xi and the BRICS nations, they, I think, had, you might say, the confidence to expect other nations of the world joining them. Other nations of the world would join them in this plan, but somebody had to take the lead. At the Beijing Olympics 2022, Russia and China took the lead. Before his death years ago, Zbigniew Brzezinski had stated that one thing you don't want, what the Pentagon should never allow, is Russia and Germany to work together. Also, Russia and China. Henry Kissinger made a presentation and statement to the Pentagon. Do not ever allow Russia and China to unite. If you do, it's over. They did. And what Putin did, I have 12 minutes left. What Putin did in a nutshell is by moving troops into Ukraine, it began to destroy the economic freedom that the European nations were beginning to have. And what I mean by that is they were beginning to work together, the European nations, and they were little by little distancing themselves from being forced to work with the United States of America. After World War II, they were hostage to the U.S. Now, for the first time since World War II, they were beginning to work together. Their economies were vibrant. They were able to maybe distance themselves to a small degree from the United States. And it was basically a great time for the European nations. Putin knew that if he's going to invade into Ukraine being forced to stop America's plan and the CIA's objective to sway the, well, not to sway. This was an old Obama plan to cause division in that area and to force Russia into war. Well, Russia didn't take the bait. Russia decided what I'll do is I'll make a move, but I won't make the move until after China and Russia have decided they're going to work together. Now, I have to think, I believe I might have something crossways here. I'm going to have to check. I believe that the war began on the 4th, the 22nd of November. For a second there, I thought I was confused. No, Russia did go into Ukraine the 22nd of February 2022. On the 4th of February, Putin and Xi made their declaration to the United States of America that we are at war with you and you, the end of your empire is now. Your reign and rule of the nations of the world is over. And this fulfills Bible prophecy, because many Christians have been led to believe that when a coming Antichrist takes his place, he rules the whole world. No, he doesn't. He rules his kingdom, but he doesn't rule the world. Vladimir Putin, Xi Jinping, they ended the Rockefeller / Rothschild / Pilgrim Society objective of complete, total, world, global domination. They've ended that plan. They will only be partially successful in globalism. But the nations of the world, there will be two economic powers, two economic systems internationally. We have the term unipolar and multipolar. The unipolar will be the kingdom of Antichrist. The multipolar nations will be the nations of the world that will not come under Antichrist's total dominance. Many Christians have believed that this would be the case. No. There will be a kingdom of the beast and the nations of the world. Now, what Antichrist will do, he will not control or own the nations of the world. He will destroy the nations of the world. He will use modern technology to punish the nations of the world internationally. And it says that this individual, for the most part, when he's done, the nations will be, to some degree, wastelands. Some areas of the world he'll destroy more completely than others. So Vladimir Putin, he had to wait until the opportune time. With Donald Trump from 2016 to 2020, this gave Putin time to continue his negotiations and the dialogue, the diplomacy with the kingdom, with the other nations of the world, not only China, not only India, not only South Africa and Brazil, but other nations also, in the Middle East especially. And with that, Putin was able to get a much larger group of nations agreeing to work in tandem against the plans of the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, and the Pilgrim Society. and the agencies of the CIA and the et cetera, MI6, MI1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 20 and 50 and 90, all these agencies of the globalists against the environmental plans of the Jolly Green Giant, what was his name? The big environmentalist, the 6'5" guy. I think it's John Kerry, the Jolly Green Giant. Well, anyhow, Putin worked this out with these countries, and he knew with Trump during that first 4 years, it gave him time to work with these other countries. But in 2020, when Trump was kept from resuming as president, his time, he wasn't able to resume the presidency. Putin knew that this was a coup. It already took place against Trump. Putin knew about it. Xi knew about it. Other nations of the world knew Donald Trump had won the election and that Barack Obama had placed his orders were to put Joe Biden in and Kamala Harris as vice president. Countries of the world, the nations of the world, they knew this, the leaders of the world, the presidents, the prime ministers. Netanyahu knew. Well, with this forced Putin and Xi, you might say, it forced them, you might say, prisoners in the same prison, bad example, but it put them in the same cell because they were in a predicament. If Trump is now out and Obama has Biden in place, they knew that every bill, every policy, every law that's passed in this United States internationally was going to be, number one, targeting Russia and targeting China. And these two presidents, they knew they had to act. And they had to be careful and make sure they did everything at the right time. With that agreement, with Russia coming in roughly 20 days later, being forced into Ukraine, that was the beginning of the demise of the European nations in the, you might say, the economic, they were just beginning to flourish, prosper economically, diss themselves from America. Well, Putin knew what would happen. And immediately what happened? These nations were forced to ante up. They had to ante up men, intelligent advisors, weapons, finances, and it has ruined their economies. The distance that they had placed between them and the United States is over. They will never recover from this. Putin, his strategies were unimaginable. Still, I sit and look at some things that I see and I haven't had time to discuss, but nevertheless, Putin made Russia great because he's got to bring Russia to war, I believe, next year. So, the program is thispresenttruth.com. My website, thispresenttruth.com. The program, This Present Truth. My contact information, Rick Rodriguez, P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. So I'm ending this program. Join me again. Please pass the website info to other people, friends, family. And this is the fourth of kind of a grouping. And I will continue until I cover the presidents of this country, Russia, China, and Israel. Goodbye.